Saudi Arabia pumps brakes on lavish infrastructure push amid budget pressures. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hide and number 9,650, Saudi Arabia and hashtag X27, S public investment fund, backed by nearly $1 trillion in capital, is canceling major Vision 2030 projects including the Cube, $50 billion structure, and scaling back the line linear city due to budget pressures. The kingdom is confronting renewed structural oil dependency despite a decade-long effort to diversify its economy through Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and hashtag X27's Vision 2030 framework. Geopolitical shocks from the Iran war have intensified Saudi Arabia and hashtag X27's economic reckoning and forced a retreat from lavish infrastructure spending plans 4 years before the 2030 deadline. The kingdom that promised to reinvent itself with a near $1 trillion sovereign wealth fund is now canceling projects, writing down failures, and confronting a structural oil dependency it spent a decade claiming to escape, and the geopolitical shock from the Iran war has made the reckoning sharper. Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, backed by a near $1 trillion pool of capital, was the engine behind Vision 2030, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's framework to transform the kingdom from a petrostate into a diversified economic powerhouse. 4 years before the 2030 deadline, the evidence of retreat is concrete. The Cube, a structure estimated to cost $50 billion that could have contained the Empire State Building 20 times over, has been abandoned entirely. The line, the 100-mile-plus linear city that was to loom taller than the Shard, is being scaled back to something far more conventional. The Truyina Mountain Resort, positioned as a year-round ski destination in the mountains of northwestern Saudi Arabia, has been reined in, and the Asian Winter Games it was meant to host in 2029 will now be held in Kazakhstan instead. LIV Golf, once positioned as the vanguard of Saudi Arabia's soft power push into global sport, has cost $5 billion to date and delivered, by Riyadh's own reassessment, neither financial nor reputational return. Alan R. Wald, author of Saudi Incorporated and a longtime observer of the kingdom's economic cycles, offered a direct reading of the pattern. This is the same playbook, the same thing again with the line. You know, we're going to build this huge thing. Oh wait, well now we're going to significantly downscale it. And it's the same thing over and over again, and it's been that way even since before Mohammed bin Salman. Wald attributed the recurring cycle to a structural governance failure. Where did they think the market was? Who told them that this was a possibility? There's a big yes man mentality. You get people telling the king what he wants to hear. And that goes for consultants too, because they want the big contracts. The consequences extend well beyond Riyadh's planning bureaus. The same oil market that Vision 2030 was designed to reduce dependence on is now simultaneously the cause of fiscal pressure and the source of temporary relief. UK energy regulator Ofgem is expected to announce a 13% rise in its household energy price cap, translating to approximately £209 more per year for a typical household, pushing annual bills to £1,850. That increase is directly attributed to a 25% rise in global gas prices driven by the effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz following the outbreak of the Iran conflict. Saudi Arabia benefits from elevated prices in the near term, but the uncertainty created by the broader regional conflict puts a ceiling on how confidently Riyadh can plan capital expenditure at scale. The structural trap, oil revenue funds the escape from oil. The central contradiction of Vision 2030 has always been visible in its own balance sheet. The PIF's near $1 trillion in assets under management is built on hydrocarbon revenue. The diversification mandate, to use oil wealth to construct an economy that no longer needs oil, required oil prices to stay high enough to fund the transition while the new industries took root. That formula broke down. The BBC reported that a significant fall in oil prices before the current Iran war generated fiscal pressure severe enough to force the retrenchment now visible across the NEOM portfolio. The war has since pushed prices back up, but the volatility itself is the problem. Institutional capital requires predictable co-investment frameworks. When anchor projects like the Line and Truyina are scaled back or cancelled, the foreign private capital that was expected to follow sovereign seed funding has no destination. This mirrors the trajectory of the King Abdullah Economic City, the $100 billion Red Sea development launched under a previous monarch. That project came to partial fruition, but its ambition to become a major business and tourism hub never materialized. As of 2016, Saudi Arabia's unemployment rate still stood at approximately 12%, a figure that underscores how resistant the structural jobs problem has proven to megaproject-led intervention. Ghanem Nusaibeh, an economic analyst who has tracked Saudi Arabia's policy evolution for years, described what MBS inherited when he became de facto ruler in 2017 as a social-economic system that was very much out of touch with the modern world that was heading towards total stagnation. Vision 2030 was the response. The question now is whether the scaled-back version retains enough coherence to drive genuine diversification. The Iran variable, geopolitical risk reprices the entire Gulf Cooperation Council investment thesis. The Iran conflict introduces a second-order effect that compounds the domestic fiscal challenge. The Strait of Hormuz, through which a substantial share of global energy trade flows, has been effectively closed, driving a 25% increase in global gas prices and triggering the sharpest upward revision to UK household energy bills since the 2022-23 price shock. For Saudi Arabia, elevated oil prices provide short-term revenue support. But the conflict creates a ceiling on inbound foreign direct investment. Infrastructure scale capital, the kind required to fund NEOM at its original scope, demands political stability, clear exit frameworks, and bankable revenue projections. A shooting war along Saudi Arabia's regional perimeter satisfies none of those conditions. Separately, the U.S.-Iran nuclear and sanctions negotiation, which Al Jazeera reported is closer to a broader agreement but remains stalled on sanctions relief, introduces another variable. A resolution that brings Iranian oil supply back to global markets would compress prices, eroding the fiscal buffer Riyadh is currently enjoying. A breakdown in talks, or an escalation, extends the disruption but raises the risk premium on all Gulf Cooperation Council-linked assets. Critical risk for institutional portfolios, any resolution of the Iran conflict that restores Hormuz traffic and suppresses oil prices removes the revenue cushion currently masking the fiscal gap created by Vision 2030's retreat. Riyadh needs high prices to fund the scaled-back plan. The ceasefire timeline is therefore a direct input to Saudi sovereign spending capacity. Live Gulf and the cost of soft power arbitrage. The $5 billion spent on Live Gulf deserves specific attention as a case study in misallocated capital. The investment thesis was straightforward: buy access to global sports audiences, accelerate Saudi Arabia's reputational rebranding, and generate returns through media rights and sponsorship. None of those outcomes materialized to a degree that justified the outlay. For institutional investors, the Live Gulf write-down is a data point about how the PIF makes capital allocation decisions, specifically, that prestige and narrative value can override financial discipline when political objectives dominate the investment committee. That dynamic does not disappear with Vision 2030's recalibration. It persists as a structural feature of any sovereign wealth fund where the ultimate principal is also the head of state. The comparable precedent is Abu Dhabi's investment in Ferrari and other Formula One assets through Mubadala, which generated measurable brand and financial returns, but those investments were structured differently, with clearer commercial logic and smaller absolute capital commitments. Live Golf was an attempt to buy a sport from scratch at a cost that no private operator would have sanctioned. Where capital goes next, the recalibration thesis, the retreat from fantasy scale infrastructure, does not mean Saudi Arabia exits the global capital markets conversation. It means the capital is being redirected, and the redirection has its own investable logic. First, the PIF's international equity portfolio, its holdings in global companies across technology, entertainment, and financial services, remains active and less dependent on domestic project execution. Second, the projects that survive the current retrenchment, those with clearer revenue models and nearer-term completion timelines, will receive a higher share of available capital, which improves execution probability. Third, the social transformation component of Vision 2030, expanded entertainment, tourism, and domestic consumption, is cheaper to fund than megastructures and has already shown measurable traction. Wald's observation that Vision 2030 was designed to change Saudi Arabia economically, politically, and socially is worth parsing. The social liberalization piece has advanced further and more durably than the physical infrastructure piece. For private equity and institutional investors, the actionable framework is to separate the PIF's domestic infrastructure book from its international portfolio and evaluate them independently. The domestic book carries project execution risk, co-investment uncertainty, and oil price dependency. The international book is a different risk profile entirely. Plaquemines positioning note, co-investment mandates tied to NEOM subprojects carry elevated abandonment risk given the pattern of cancellations. Exposure to the PIF's international equity allocations, particularly in sectors where Saudi Arabia has demonstrable strategic interest, tourism, sports media, and technology, carries a more defensible return thesis. The Plaquemines view the market frames Vision 2030's retrenchment as a credibility problem for MBS. That framing is too narrow and, for investment purposes, almost entirely beside the point. The real signal is structural. Saudi Arabia has confirmed, through its own project cancellations, that sovereign capital alone cannot substitute for organic private sector demand in building new economic ecosystems. The King Abdullah Economic City precedent, the Economic Cities program of the 2000s, and now NEOM all follow the same arc. Announce at scale, attract consultants and contractors, spend billions, and then confront the absence of the private sector tenants, tourists, and employers who were supposed to fill the space. The second-order implication is that the Gulf Cooperation Council diversification trade, which institutional capital has been underwriting for a decade through co-investment vehicles, real estate allocations, and sovereign partnerships, needs a harder-edged underwriting framework. The question is not whether Saudi Arabia is committed to transformation. It is whether any top-down capital program, no matter how large, can manufacture the private sector velocity required to change a $1 trillion-plus economy within a decade. Our thesis, the Iran conflict has paradoxically given Riyadh a temporary reprieve by pushing oil prices back up. That reprieve will be used to consolidate Vision 2030 around a smaller set of achievable projects rather than to restart the cancelled ones. Investors who treat this as a buying opportunity in distressed Saudi infrastructure exposure are misreading the signal. The consolidation is the strategy, not the setback. The more interesting play is in the downstream energy shock. A 13% rise in UK household energy costs, driven by a 25% increase in global gas prices, is the opening data point in what could be a multi-quarter repricing of European energy exposure. That is a distinct trade from Saudi project risk, and one with nearer-term catalysts. The bottom line: Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030 is not dead. It is smaller, slower, and more honest about what sovereign capital can accomplish without matching private sector demand. The cube is gone. The line is shrinking. LIV Golf has cost $5 billion and returned approximately nothing by Riyadh's own accounting. The Asian Winter Games go to Kazakhstan. What remains is a sovereign wealth fund of near $1 trillion with active global allocations, a domestic transformation agenda with real, if incomplete, social progress, and an oil market temporarily inflated by a regional war that could resolve or escalate on a timeline no one controls. For institutional capital, the forward posture is selective. Disengage from Saudi domestic infrastructure co-investment mandates without clear revenue visibility, monitor the Iran negotiation as a direct input to Saudi fiscal capacity, and watch whether the PIF's international equity portfolio absorbs capital freed up by cancelled megaprojects. That reallocation, if it occurs, is the next significant capital flow from this story.